Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
For the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you can do better than that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Phil Kimball, lead us in prayer, would you please, sir?
Lord, again, thanks for the opportunity you've given us to gather together. And Lord, open your word and sing praises to you. And Lord, thank you for your blessings to us. And thank you for this Christmas season. And Lord, just give us a good service this morning. We'll give trust you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you need the Lord today, we want to do everything we can to introduce him to you. Songs that we're singing this morning, prayers that we're praying, all pointing to him. I love this song because it's for the Christian. We can truly rest our case at the cross.
Confirmed on
She listened to the preacher. preacher when he stood up and said, if you're somewhere between doubt and believing, friend, I have the answers for all that you're needing. Ask me who, and I'll tell you it's Jesus. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. Ask me where, and I'll take you to Calvary. Ask me why, and I'll tell you it's love. Well, it has been years since she found amazing grace. It's been a long journey, but each battle she's faced has proved
Jesus, than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have all the riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than all of man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than all the worldwide fame. I'd rather be truer to your holy name than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have you, Jesus, than anything this world affords today. Rather have you, Jesus, than anything this world can afford today.
Still praying. I want to tell you a little something. The other Wednesday night when Will got saved, we were wasn't a typical kind of Christmas lesson we brought. It's just something been burdened on mine and William's heart. We talked about and we prayed about. And a lot of folks were out, and we were missing a lot of folks. And I said, and I almost changed up and didn't do it. And then after we did, and Will got saved, we were sitting there, and we said, and I asked him, I said, if you know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, I want you to raise your hand. And they all raised their hands. And they said, except for Will. And I looked over and I saw him. And I thought, maybe he didn't hear me. He didn't understand. He had his mind on something else. So I changed it up and I said, if you're not sure that you've ever been saved and you want us to pray for you, would you raise your hand? And Will's hand went up. And I said, if you're willing to take care of it tonight, would you just stand to your feet? And he stood up. But that's not where it ended, folks. We went out, we prayed with him, and he got saved. And we We left there, and it wasn't until a little bit later that I got a call. Rebecca was concerned about Brooke. Because they'd gotten into a conversation, and she said, when that invitation was given, I said, I was, and I hope I don't embarrass you by telling this, sweet. She said, I was scared to death. She said, why? She said, because the only reason I raised my hand was because you raised your hand. And so, this is what really, it touched me. Rebecca said, Dad, what do I do? How do I talk to her? What do I say to her? And she's got his little Salvation card. I don't know if you've ever seen. He carries it around with him everywhere he goes. It's laminated. She said she wanted to get it. So she got it, and he showed her how to use it and how to talk to her. And they had discussed it, and she wasn't ready. It doesn't matter if we're at the end of the service. It doesn't have to be a formal invitation given. When the Lord is ringing your bell.
Amen. Amen. Truth.
When he's ringing your bell, you better move at that moment. You're not promised another opportunity. We're not promised another breath. We're not offered. You know, he is the God of second chances, and thank the Lord. But we're not promised. And for Brooke to come down. And except Christ is born, it was worth. I've prayed for her since the other week when I came up, concerned about her, not if she would get, I said, boy, I knew the Lord was dealing with her. When the Lord starts convicting you, you run, and you may run off for a little bit and feel good about yourself, but you're not going to run too far because he's going to grab hold of your heart again. And I knew, I said, boy, get her in service, you know, what I was more concerned about. I don't know if you, I'd mentioned this to my class this morning. There's a boy over, a teenage boy over in Phipp. And he was out on their property riding a four-wheeler. And they had horses and everything. And he's out riding a four-wheeler through the woods and through the trails. And his mom was on her horse, and she was riding around, and she rode down the trail, and she came up on him. He'd had an accident and flipped his four-wheeler. And when she got to him, the four-wheeler was laying on top of him, and he was already dead. Tragic right here at Christmas, and somebody died. But what's the worst tragedy? Is not knowing whether they were saved or not. And what I'd been worried about for Brooke was not, boy, we get her back in here, the Lord will deal with it. It was that gap in between. Now, if you're living in that gap, that's a dangerous place. If the Lord's dealing with you, he's pulling at you, you know the right or wrong. You're sitting there. You know whether you're saved or not. You know. I don't know. You all look saved. You all look. You're dressed up nice. You come to church. That don't mean anything. But if he's ringing your bell and you don't move, taking a chance with your eternal soul to walk out of this building today, not knowing him as Savior, that boy wasn't planning to die. Wasn't planning to die. Might have done things different. Where are you at today? Is that the second verse? You got a control on that? Just do that second verse.
I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than call the worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to your whole and name than to be a king of a vast domain. Today.
That's good, isn't it? Well, folks, I know we have a lot of folks that are out of town and still doing the Christmas thing, and that's okay. And it's important to a preacher to look out and see the congregation in their place, but more importantly is that God shows up. And I have to say, I believe he has done that for us this morning. And we've been praying for this young lady for a while. And Brother Dave, I've had the exact same prayer. God put a hedge of protection around her so she gets saved. And last night, I was in bed praying most of the night, asking the Lord to save Brooke. So it was an answer of prayer for me. And I know it's an answer of prayer for Rebecca. And folks, that's just good stuff. This morning we sang the first song. I thought, my Lord, if we were an airplane, we'd crash and burn because you guys just were like. But you see, the Lord has a way of moving. And let me say this, he moves more often in spite of us than because of us. Hate to break your heart or disappoint you like that, but it's just the truth. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. In this Christmas season, I want to start with a particular verse, and then I'm going to leave that, and I want to do some jumping around. You don't have to worry about following me if you don't want to. But I do want to talk to you just for a few moments. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, of course, at this point of the text, the Lord Jesus had been born. And it was time that he be dedicated. You know how we dedicate babies? Well, they did the same to the firstborn male. And so we have here the beginning of the dedication. And of course, I was going to preach a message on Simeon and Anna. Those were the two that God allowed to be there that day. And there's a wonderful, beautiful story behind of all that, and then the lives of those two people. But we're not going to go there this morning. About, I guess, 10 o'clock last night, the Lord told me to go in this direction. But I do want to read verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. It had a name. His name was given. He was still on the throne in heaven when the name Jesus, I'm talking about as far as this world was concerned, was given to him. Now, I like all that, and it's a wonderful story, and like I said, I really wanted to go in that direction. But I'm glad that, yes, he has a name which is above every name, but he's also called or referred to or is symbolized with other names and also other particular items. And I just want to share those with you this morning. Is that fair enough? I won't keep you very long, but I do want to share them with you. I tell you what, I'm glad that he was called Jesus here, but in Revelation chapter 1, he's called the Alpha and Omega. He's called the beginning and the end. I tell you, it all began with him, and if it ever ends, it all end with him. Now, then he's called the anchor. The anchor in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you and that's me. We have a soul, and we can choose to drop the anchor. We can choose to make Jesus Christ the anchor of our soul, or we can try to navigate these rough waters by ourselves. And I want to say to you, lost person, these waters are not yours to navigate. But God has sent us an anchor through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that a blessing? I remember a few years ago, he's dead now, but he and his wife were both killed in a motorcycle accident a few years ago. But he was a guide, a fishing guide. And so he'd call me every once in a while, and he'd say, hey, I'm going out to look for fish. You want to go with me? And so about sundown, we'd be hitting the lake, and we'd be all over the lake that night looking for fish so he could bring the next day or so, bring a group and kind of know where the fish was hiding. And man, we'd have a good time in the Lord. But I tell you, one night he dropped an anchor. And ladies and gentlemen, when it came time to get the anchor up, he couldn't get it up. He started the boat up, and he'd pull over in this direction trying to get that anchor disconnected, and pulled over in this direction, and he just could not get the anchor to release. So you know what he had to do? Had to cut the rope. That's right, because the anchor was in there, and he could not, listen to me, he could not get it to release. I want to say to you, lost person, that the Lord is that anchor. And your rope, if I may say, or your boat, is tied to that anchor. And if you decide to pull up anchor and leave, tough cookies. It doesn't work that way. But you do. You see, our God is a gentleman. And he will let you cut that rope and ride off into the sunset and straight into hell. He'll hang on. He'll hang on. He'll hang on until you absolutely walk away cutting that rope of eternity between him and you. But he is an anchor. And I'm glad as a Christian that, hey, number one, Christian, when we were saved, we were deprived of scissors and knives. We can't cut that rope. If we wanted to, the rope is ours to be had. The anchor is sure. It's sunk deep into something. And I want to say that we cannot pull up anchor, even if we wanted to. I'm glad he's the anchor, but I tell you what, I'm glad in John 6, he's also the bread. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And listen what this crowd said unto the Lord. Evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. There's a hungering that the soul of men have, and they're trying to fill it with everything imaginable. They try to fill it in the form of a bottle of alcohol, or the form of some drug, or the form of a man or of a woman, or some grand relationship. They try their best to fill that void. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't be filled with those things. It is the bread and the bread of life that will fill you. I tell you, I'm going to keep on preaching, because if I don't, I'm going to get hung up on something. Well, if you read that, go ahead, and if you finish reading that, you'll also find that Jesus said that if you eat of this bread, partake of him, that you'll never thirst again either. Just thought I'd throw that at you. But then also we find that he is an eagle. Now, I'm not going to expound on each and every point. I'll let you take care of that in your own Bible time. But he also says that the Bible describes him as an eagle in Exodus 19 and Revelation chapter 4. Then we also see that the Lord Jesus is referred to as the first fruits of a crop. What do you mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just put that down to where I can understand it? This is it. If God could not raise himself from the dead, he could not raise you from the dead. And so he was the first crop, amen? He was the first. I'm talking about under the new economy of grace and faith. He rose up just to prove that he can raise us up. I tell you something else he's described as. The Lord Jesus is described as a hen. In Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often, listen, he says, how many times would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He's saying, how many times I've called you? How many times I spoke on the hillside? How many times I spoke in the temple? How many times I spoke in the wilderness? How many times I've called upon you and wanted to gather you up like a hen, rubbing her wings over them and protect them from the elements? How many times did I call on you, but ye would not? Listen, lost person, how many times is God going to give you a chance? How many times is he going to call on you, call for you, plead with you, tickle your heart, convict you, make you a little miserable if need be? How many times are you going to hear the gospel before the Lord says to you one day as you stand before him in judgment and he looks at you and says, but ye would not? There's going to come a time where we'll all end and ye would not will be judged. Ye that would not will be judged. So we see him as an anchor, as bread or manna, as an eagle, as the first fruits of a crop. We see him as a hen. We see him as a lamb. The next day in John 1:29, the next day seeth Jesus coming unto him. And this is John the Baptist that saw Jesus coming unto him. And John the Baptist said, behold Behold, he said, look here, everyone, all those that were on the hillside, all those that were on the banks. He said, look here, look who's coming, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Looky here. And today you may be here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. I'm not a John the Baptist, but this little preacher is saying, behold, looky here. Looky here, Jesus, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he wants to take your sin away as well. I'm glad he came as a lamb. You know, the Old Testament, they'd make these sacrifices, and depending on your ability to pay, it could be anything from a bull to a lamb to even birds, depending on what you could afford financially. But I want to say that there was a problem with that, because you could kill him this year, sacrifice this year, and not be forgiven next year. That's a problem. The Lord Jesus looked down and he said, you know, that's a pretty good system, but I think we can do better than that. The Lord Jesus said to God the Father, he said, why don't we present a sacrifice that they don't have to do every year? They don't have to go through this process. So God the Father said, I think it's a good idea. Let's think about this. And so they began to search far and wide for a sacrifice that would be so worthy, so perfect, that if it was killed, it would not have to be killed next year, and the year after, and the year after. But it had enough power, enough purity, enough righteousness and holiness in that blood that it would take away the sins of the world, not just the past sins, not the present, but also the sins of the future. Who could possibly do that? Well, the Bible says it was Jesus. Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to save you this morning. Don't sit back and wait till it's too late. I'll tell you something else about this Jesus. He's also referred to as a light. In John 1:9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Can I say this to you? You will not stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, I would have been saved, but I just did not receive a clear presentation of the gospel. I was never told about the love that your son had for me. I was never told that he was born of a virgin. I was never told that he died on the cross and my sins were therefore nailed to the cross through him and by him. I was never told about a God that raised from the dead 3 days after he was crucified. I was never told about the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I was never told that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're lost today, you cannot say that. You have seen God in action today. You have heard and are hearing his gospel being preached to you. You are today, on the 27th of December, the year 2015, you are now without excuse, because you have and are hearing the gospel being preached to you. We also see him, and once again in your own Bible study, he was called the lily in Song of Solomon 2:1, the lion in Ezekiel 1, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, an ox or calf in Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4. He was referred to as a rock in Matthew 16 and 18 and 1 Peter chapter 2, a root in Isaiah chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 5 and 22, the rose in Song of Solomon, a star in Revelation chapter 22. And listen to this. He's referred to, yes, as the rock up in Matthew 16, like I mentioned, but he's referred to as a living stone in 1 Peter 24. I got to tell you, I've heard people having pet rocks before, and I could never figure that one out. You can't, hey, I got to tell you, they're easy to clean up after, okay? I've never gone home and had pet rock poop on the carpet. But if you've ever had a puppy or a kitten or something, you had something on your floor, I'm sure. But never the rock. This is a living stone. And whom, to whom, in 1 Peter 2:4, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, in other words, rejected by men, but chosen of God and precious. Amen. Listen, if you want to get an idea of the preciousness of God, watch a family when they have a new baby in it. It's precious and it can be sickening. I mean to tell you, that child can do no wrong. I mean, they sit there, they're grunting, they're turning blue, they got veins coming out of their neck. You know what they're about to do in that diaper. And somebody says, oh, they're going to leave us a little load. I mean, everything is precious about that baby. And then they do gross stuff and we laugh about it. Oh, you wouldn't believe what they did to me. The other night we had a talk about babies, how they like to spit up. Oh, I remember when Rachel, years ago, I remember when Rachel filled my pocket up. I was holding her like this, and she went, a little baby. And I think I remember my mom going, oh, isn't that precious? I got to tell you something. We look at that little baby, and we basically can, they can do no wrong. I mean, everything they do is sweet. The other night, the baby was Rachel was reading The Grinch That Stole Christmas to her. And we took a picture, and that baby yawned. And Olivia opened her mouth and yawned. And everybody went, oh, how's the baby yawned? Hey, the baby yawned, okay? But it was so precious in the sight of the family. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. And this thing with the Lord is precious in our eyes. He truly is all that He says He is. And He's a living stone. And it is so precious. He can do no wrong. He can do no wrong. The world might not like what He does, but He can do no wrong. He's also the cornerstone of 1 Peter 2. He's a stumbling stone in Romans 9 and 1 Peter 2. He's also a rejected stone. And I hope you'll just hear me out, and I'll be done. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, listen to this, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected? Folks, this old world's rejecting our stone. The same is become the head of the corner. This is our Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a nasty, nasty world that rejects this holy Lord and Savior. But I want to say to you, to the Christian, it's marvelous in our eyes. Every time the world stands up and snarls at Him, I get angry. I get angry. I get angry. And sometimes, oh God, I can't wait till You come and just throw that group right into hell. You say, preacher, that's not much love. I said I get angry. I didn't say I did it. I just said I asked God to do it. ticked off. And he's still loving them. This sodomite crowd that hates God. I get so angry sometimes. And then it gets worse when I pick up and do research and I find these so-called churches that are allowing them to join in their perversion. I'm not talking about coming, getting saved, and joining. I'm talking about coming in their perversion and joining. Man, I get angry. And I don't care how angry I get, God's love is more than my anger toward them. You know, if somebody says something ugly about your wife, you get angry with them, right? Somebody says something ugly about your mom or dad, you might get angry with them, right? Somebody says something about my Heavenly Father, I just get very defensive. But no matter how angry I get, no matter how off the charts I get with my defensive anger, He loves them even the more. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a God that is rejected by the world. But in spite of His rejection, He embraced the world with His love and kindness and healing. And then to top it all off, He died for the world. That means you and me. A perfect, righteous, holy. Can I just be blunt, honest with you? Have you ever met somebody and they're in the depravity of sin? They look like sin. They sound like sin. They smell like sin. You would not even want to give them a ride in your automobile. Hello? I know that you're better than I am, so I must be preaching to myself. You absolutely go, oh my Lord. That's who Jesus died for. We automatically push away. And God automatically embraces. That's Jesus. That's the one they named there in Jerusalem that day. That's the one Simeon just couldn't wait to see and ask God, please, don't let me die until I see Jesus. That's the one little Anna prophesied over and shouted over and prayed over. Cleaned up and had a good time with, held in her little arms and hands and praised Jesus for Jesus. That's who we serve today. So when you read this chapter and verse, and when the 8 days' work accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. I just want to let you know who you were dealing with this morning. My question is, do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you don't know Jesus Christ, don't let this be the day that His salvation escapes you. Embrace Him because He is trying to embrace you. He embraced you when He was... Think about it, folks. He was rich, the Bible says, and became poor that He might win the world to Himself. What an awesome God. What are you going to do with Him, lost person? Jesus loves you. Won't you accept Him and make Him your Lord and Savior today? Won't you do that this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Dave, you come, do as you feel led. I'm going to ask you to stand up, please. Your feet, every eye closed, and your heads bowed, please. You may be here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I am born again. I know that." Hey, listen, that's great. But do you have a family member that's lost on the way to hell? Do you have a friend or a coworker or a schoolmate? Hey, young people, would you hear me out? You go to school, you go to high school, you go to college, what have you. Does your testimony say Jesus? Or do those look at you and go, "I can't believe that they say they're a Christian. I can't believe they're a member of that church down there. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what she said?" Young people, God is trying to do something special at Westside concerning your group. And I just want you to be submissive to the Holy Spirit this morning and lay your life down for him. This morning, if you don't know Christ, would you be saved today? If you do know Christ, do you have anyone that's breaking your heart? Somebody that you know is going to bust hell wide open? And you need to get down here and fight for them a little bit in prayer. Would you do it? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Brother Dave.